All right, Marty. I like all these babies being born. I like young church. I like old church. I like in between. But we've got to have youth, people. Hallelujah. We've got to have youth. I don't know what these chairs on this side did. But it's not that these chairs are being punished. It's just there's a weight of glory right over here. Hallelujah. Natalie and Velotti and his. Barbara called and said to save us. Barbara's coming back. Barbara Fish, she's coming back. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What are you doing, Pastor? I don't know and I don't care. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm teaching enough right now, not enough. I'm teaching three services a week besides this one that are verse by verse. I do a Tuesday night. It's a methodical teaching that I'm doing now with Brazil. And Sunday night we've been teaching on Romans. It's went well. Wednesday night has been 2 Timothy. Three services a week, just line on line. He told me, it's all right. I love that. Angels. He's told me, and the way that he speaks to me is to leave these Sundays very open to presence. Hallelujah. Mahalas olakriste. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Presence. Presence, Lord. Hale ito elachlinde istier do ana iskenedi alochrine. Presence, 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 presence. Presence, says the Lord. Presence. Heroso de ikriska. Jesus, I caresso rati la croto batiti a talamano sotto la cresta di Dio. Glorify you. Presence revival. Presence revival, Jesus. Pastori tierra todesche di esse. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ora Christe, yes, sir. Marissa di Dieta. This is the greatest article you possess. You may call me old school. I don't care. I really don't care. But you need to have one of these. You may have 16 different translations. I've got as many translations probably as anybody in here. I don't know, maybe not, but and I've got them on my smart device. And I can read different ways, but you need to have a written version of the Bible. I'm asking you to start bringing your Bible to church as a testimony. Now, I know you can bring it and not be reading it. I don't care if there's a religious mind in here that says, oh, that doesn't matter. I'm asking you because he's asking you. Get me one out if you don't mind, please. You know, I know we come to church for revelation, and I do my best. I mean, you should have a pastor or somebody that's studying, I will look at different forms of the way that verses are written, and read the chapter hundreds of times, maybe. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just saying I want you to have a quality. Oh, I was schooled. I was schooled for a number of years and have a degree in biblical understanding, but I've learned more in the last 30 years under this walk than I ever learned through doctors of theology. But I'm not bragging on myself. I want to put it down in simplicity. Do you ever, and this is not something that I want a public confession, but do you ever just get the word, sit down someplace, even if it's for 15 minutes? Because a lot of times we talk so much around here about prayer, and that's absolutely wonderful, and the word and a fasted life, and I could go through all the limbs. And sometimes I think the enemy uses the good and twists it, and not that you're twisted, but uses it because then there's a mystique that's a twisting, like I know pastor does that a lot, or he maybe does that. I don't check into a place where you can't do. I understand you can't do what I do. So don't let the enemy or your own mind take it to some place where it's impossible. But do you find yourself at least a few times a week? And if not, don't use this as a moment of condemnation, but reconciliation, to say, what can I do, Lord, with all that I'm having to do and everything in my life? Do you just find your, don't turn everything off. You don't need to listen to me. You don't need to listen to somebody else that you like. Don't let somebody else listen to people. I mean, if they're good, but read the word. Do you know if, my God, this is incredible. This generation that we live in, it has, it's really amazing. I'm sorry for those of you that might not be able to see me best in the back. I'm trying to give an example. This wasn't written during Paul's time. It was writing. It was being written. It was being written. If you had a letter, there were few. John didn't write most of his writings until he's like up in his 90s, close to 100. The Old Testament, those 39 books, those were, but nobody had them in your home like this. And then the New Testament was only the New Testament church didn't have this. Okay. It was in the process, and there were writings, and yet they walked in an incredible amount of grace and power because they were sold, totally sold on what their love for Jesus and their word of mouth testimonies of what was in here. When they did get a letter, they would rehearse it over and over again. And just that medial amount of attention with a total devotion produced an incredible amount of power. Church, we've got to have a revival of just reading the word. I've got books. I love to read books. I don't know. I've read a number of books this year. My girls came in, one of my daughters, might have been Davy or Amber, I can't remember, a few months ago, and I'll read books, but sometimes I'll have three or four that I'm reading. I don't know, maybe I'm reading five now, six books, but I'll have them on my desk. And they said, Dad, you're reading all those of this. I can't do that. I need to read just one, and then I'll get to. I said, I don't know. Maybe that's the way my brain works. As soon as I jump from one book to the next, I'm in that book. But none of them give me life like this. None of them give me life like this. People love this book. Cherish this book. Read this book. If you don't listen to any other sermons during the week by anyone because you have read your Bible, read your Bible. Yes, sir. Read your Bible. And please, I hope that everybody here, and this is not demeaning either, I hope everybody here is born again. And then I hope everybody here is filled with the Holy Spirit and prays in other tongues. Now, I think it was John G. Lake, or it might have been Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know which. I think it was John. He said, he was looking at the end. He said, I see an incredible phenomenon taking place. People filled with the Holy Spirit, but lack of power. And they were both supposed to be one and the same. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus said, and you'll be witnesses. But you'll also lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We should be a supernatural people. Test this out. When your friend says, I'm sick, just say, well, can I pray for you? Don't do it mechanically, but ask them if you can pray for them. And ask them later, did something happen? Because something should be happening through you. But he said, I see a people that there's one thing too. And we've taught on this, and I don't want to get off on it too much this morning. But there's one thing of receiving the initial baptism where you can pray. You got filled, and he doesn't leave. He doesn't evaporate on the days that you don't pray. He's always there. Unless you just start sinning a horrible life and go back into a horrible world. But he's always there. But there's one thing about an initial baptism, and then there's the being full of the Holy Spirit. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you're full of the Holy Spirit. Full is when it's when he, not it, when he's eking out of you. That's what I seek for. That's what I pray for all of you. And I pray that all of you, now, this is another, because a lot of times you'll hear this, you go, oh, God, I don't do that. That's not what this is for. It's like to lift you up and say, you can do this. You can get in a habit of start reading your word. This may sound simple, Simon, but there's an anointing on it. You should have, by now, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, when you first start out, sometimes people start out with a syllable. And they'll say it over and over. But not to make anybody feel bad, but if you've been filled with the Spirit for very long, the Holy Spirit will come in there, and a lot of times people get filled or get baptized, but they're not, their freedom is not, they're like inhibited. And a lot of that has to do with your soul trying to inhibit your spirit. It's like a capstone over your spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to come in there with a big sledgehammer and just bam, break the capstone. And you should, there's languages of angelic languages, and there's human languages, but all of it is a secret to the enemy. And we don't know what we're praying, but really, after a while, when you turn this loose, when you turn him loose, you'll find out that you'll get more and more and more words. And it's just like languages. You should really get where after years, you have thousands of different words that you speak. Thousands. You can't count them. You don't even try to keep. The church that is filled is not full. That's it. The church, I'm not preaching down. Let's seek a higher level, right? Let's all seek. Let's not condemn ourselves. It's not preaching at you. It's saying, look, let's grab hands, encourage each other. Let the church that's been filled be full. It's one thing to be filled. It's another thing to be full. Let's get full. I was talking, me and Davey were talking yesterday. No, it was Amber, I think. I go back and forth with these wonderful daughters. But we were talking about languages. And it was... she brought up something about Webster and what a great man Webster was and how that he got born again, the man that put together our modern day dictionary. And I said, I know it's amazing when you look at, when you go back and look at, and I can't remember the figure. I wish I could. Now I'm just going to throw something out and I'm not trying to be exaggerative, but when our founding fathers that wrote the Declaration, we look at that, those words sometimes, and we say, what kind of language were they speaking? These were incredibly intelligent men. But when we came over here from Europe, when we came here, the working vocabulary was like 50,000 words in an average person. Now the working vocabulary is like 5,000 or something like that. We have been so, excuse me, don't get mad, we have been so dumbed down in our intelligence of vocabulary that when somebody does say something, they're saying, well, you're trying to be impressive. Why do you say that? Because much of the church has not allowed the Holy Spirit to develop, to come in with a sledgehammer and break up you're going to have to, and I'm not telling you you got to. I'm saying if you're going to the next level, privately, maybe this needs to be done privately. I'm not saying you have to do it here, but privately, you're going to have to spend enough time where, and you don't have to be demonstrative. You don't have to, maybe you're a quiet person, but a capstone has to be broken and a well, words. You maybe need nobody around you. Maybe it only takes 10 minutes of your day, but you need this Holy Ghost language to begin to flow. And then you're going to have to, when I say have to, that may sound pushy. I'm just saying, if you want this freedom, you're going to have to yield something inside of you and say, I don't care what this sounds like, and my mind and my brain tells me this is kind of weird, but I know this is you, God, because I'm yielding to you. Satan cannot get involved, but I allow this language to, why are you saying this? Because in this language are paragraphs, there's sentences, there are words, there's sentences, there's paragraphs, and there's a whole ledger of grace that the Holy Spirit wants to pray out of you. Sometimes he will switch your tongue of 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2 of edification. That is a word that he's praying just to edify, build you up. Jude 20, it builds you up on your most holy faith. So your spirit is being built up. But sometimes in that, if you'll keep on doing it, sometimes he will, even if it's for a teeny weeny few seconds, he will switch your tongue to a tongue of intercession. I've had him pray for me. I knew it was, well, isn't he praying for you in edification? There's a whole teaching I could teach on this, but you can't do it in 38 minutes that I have. There's a tongue of edification that'll just build you up. There's a tongue of intercession that takes you straight. It's like this takes you straight in, and you may not see this, but you're right in His presence, and the Holy Ghost Himself is interceding for you, or most likely a lot He's interceding for others. You'll break things. You'll change things. We're supposed to be whole. Listen, we're Holy Ghost Church. You're going to hear these things. It's going to be strange to people. I'm not being mean. I just don't care. It doesn't matter what people say or comment or think. But we have been so vacant from power that when power shows up, people think it's weird. What's going on? I'd like for a handout to be given to me, and I like some kind of program to look at. Here's the program. Get up, be healed. Don't be scared when demons manifest in the days ahead in here. We won't allow nobody to get hurt, and we won't make much of it. But we'll cast them out. Because they'll come in here, you'll think they have a terrible, you'll say, this person, they're weird. No, a lot of people are not weird. They're just possessed with a devil. It torments them. But at the name of Jesus and in the power of God, it has to come out. Hallelujah. What inhibits tongues? Well, sometimes personality traits. Then sometimes sin does. Now we're all there again. Your mind can go someplace else, and you can put barriers up that He's not putting up. We're all changing. We're all being perfected. I each fast I find more of me to give to more of Him. But what causes this is this kind of consciousness has not been prevalent in the church. It's vacated the church because of greasy grace. If you're like single and you're not married and you're filled with the Spirit and you mess around, you can't do that. You can't pray in tongues and mess around. The capstone is not that He wants to break a personality. You've got to repent. You got, because sin will inhibit the move of the Spirit. Man, I need a bunch of Callie Pearls saying amen. You can't, as a married man, look at stuff, or a single man, look at your wife. Well, I have, as a single man, I have urges. Get married. Jesus, I will not charge you a dime. And then it's all good. It's all good. You can't lie. You can't even extremely exaggerate. He doesn't really appreciate that either. You can't hold grudges. You and I can argue and you can beat me up. Because I'm not as tough as Michael or something like that. And then we shake hands. And if we forgive, that's it. Those won't hold back anything. But if you got a slow burn, if you got something that like, but Pastor, I'm trying to get over it. Get over it now. I can't. You can. You want the mic? Because you're preaching real good. Pilate said they don't want to. No, it feels too good sometimes. You'll say, I try to forgive them. But you know what? No, you put them in a, that hurt whatever they did. And maybe they did something really. It was hurt. But you put them in a cage and you got them. They're not literally in a cage, but they're in a cage in your mind. And every once in a while, you go over to that cage and you got, it's time for you to come out. You let them out so you can beat on them. You can beat on them and beat on them. Then you get back in the cage. And you're like, David said he went to the church. He went to the house of God with me. And we took sweet communion together. Always enjoy this guy's name. Ahithophel. You can say it either way. And one guy came up to me, and he wasn't being mean, but I preached it, and he came up to me, and he was a Hebrew. He wasn't Hebrew, I don't think, but he studied Hebrew. I don't think he was Jewish. I think he just studied. And he told me, he was nice. He goes, but you need to say it like this. And I said, brother, you're talking to me. Ahithophel or Ahithophel is the closest I can get to that name. But I broke that study in a church. I preached that message. I'd heard part of it before, a good part of it. It really helped me. Somebody had taught it. And then I went in and broke it down. And this man was, he was the closest commandant to David. And he was David's counselor. When David was fleeing Jerusalem and going up the Mount of Olives, and they crossed, it's an incredible picture. It says that they all wept. David, they all crossed the Kidron Brook, and they wept as they went up the mount. They were fleeing the city. The coup, Absalom's coup, was just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. They were coming in by the thousands. David's army was evidently employed in the field, and they could not get to Jerusalem quick enough. And so David took the palace guards and his few wives and their children, and they were fleeing his oldest sons, Absalom, because of a coup that was coming in. And he got just outside the city, and they came to him and told him, Ahithophel is with them. He has joined leagues. He is the counselor now. Your right-hand man is the counselor of Absalom. And the reason, and it's an incredible story, and I won't break that down, but he's going here. He's going someplace with this. The reason why that the best friend, and you know, when Jesus quotes in the Last Supper, he says, as it is written, he that has broken bread with me has also lifted up his heel against me. He was speaking of Judas, but Ahithophel was the Old Testament shadow of Judas, and he was his counselor. He was David's right-hand man. And when David found out, when he ascended and they come to him and says, this man has joined leagues, he goes, all is lost then, basically. All is lost. And or he thought, oh God, why? Because this man knew him like nobody else. Why did that all happen? Why would a man turn and stab another man in the back that was his best friend? David had an affair many years earlier that crushed the kingdom. It was with a beautiful Israeli girl called Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and she was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. We found that out through the lineage and going through scripture. And what we find out in that whole story is that even though that had taken place 20 years earlier, that the man that had looked into David's eyes and thought to have reconciled, because I can tell you this, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband, and it came back to him, and Nathan the prophet comes in and gives him a story and then tells the story, and David says, David was being hypocritical. Nathan tells him a story about a man that stole another man's sheep, and it was the only sheep he had, his little lamb. And the other man, the rich man that had millions of lambs, killed the one sheep and took the one sheep into his, you know, to himself. And he sacrificed it. And David says, I swear by God Almighty, I'll kill whoever this is that's done this. And Nathan says, you're the guy. Uriah only had, he had one wife. They had been raised together. And you coveted what was his. And then you killed him for it. The scandal went nationwide. Everybody knew about it. But the mockery was this, that this woman, Bathsheba, had submitted. And then it got back to this man that was a trusted counselor of David, that his granddaughter had been used. David used his kingly power to say, let's do this. It shamed this man in such a way that he was so ashamed that he hated David. I don't know why he's laboring on this, but he is laboring on this. I thought we were going to do something else. In Jesus' name, we bind every distraction. I command every distraction bound in the name of Jesus. Satan hates my words. He hates your words. When Ahithophel, I wish I could say it like that guy. When he got a chance after 20 years to stick it to him, he did. He joined forces with someone else. What will cause your prayers not to get answered? One is faith. Another one is when there's something inside of you that says, he did that to me, she did that to me. Yes, I can be nice to them when I see them. But there's something on the inside that still ratchets down. See, folks, for this outflow of power that's coming through us, I prophesy this, that there's a sweeping move of God's glory. It's going to come not only here, but through those watching. And you're going to find, not all of you, but many of you are going to find that something is uprooted in the days ahead that maybe you thought was gone. And you have to, all you're going to have to do is say yes to it, Jesus. I won't go to the cage. I won't lock them up. But they were guilty. Let all guilt go on Jesus. They did me wrong. I was just a child. Let all guilt go on Jesus. The only way that you're going to run, and I mean, we got to run, folks. We got to run in this last hour. We're not going to be zombies. waiting for something to happen. We're going to be what is happening. Did you hear me? But you're going to have to let it go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's pass out those. We'll read these. We'll have something. We'll put something in your hand so you believe you went to church. Hallelujah. How about that? Harry, sing because of who you are. Hallelujah. Sing it with us.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you
praise. These are the last two prophecies on our prophecy page. Is that right, honey? Yep.
Because of who you are,
watching this morning, go back
to our website. I will lift my voice and sing. I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Yes, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Jesus.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh,
yes, Jesus.
My provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, yes. You're my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you.
Hallelujah.
Because of who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Thanks, Harry. I noticed I was listening to you yesterday on one of your soundtracks that you put out, or one of your, so you put Jehovah Rapha, I heard, in that one that you put out. That's good. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. There's two prophecies in front of us spoken last week. And you'll see, I bring you into a new way is A, and then the next one is B. But let's look at it together. We want to honor the Lord for his prophetic words and what he speaks. And hallelujah, we'll read these, and as far as I know, we'll go home. Hallelujah. I bring you into a new way, and I hope you've got it at home. You should by now know how to go pretty quickly to our prophetic page. With great power and demonstration of my glory and my coming, says the Spirit of the Lord. Increase, 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 increase. Do not look around or try to touch the familiar and say, I want to find a place that looks like it used to be. For all things are changing, says the Spirit of the Lord, for the better. Do not resist the better, but come into it, says the Spirit of the Lord. Embrace me. For many things will fall off and many things will be put on. I bring you into a new way, a living way, one fought for many decades with the blood of those who have been martyrs for this and brought up these things even from the first church. For in the end, I prophesied of the culmination of all ages, the synergy of all of the ages coming together to bring me back. Know this, that you as this church, you'll see in these days things of the former and things of the latter. And this church means you watching as well, of course. And these two coming together will bring forth greater than all the world has ever seen, says the Spirit of the Lord. The Antichrist will have to rise up and try to bring forth a standard against it, because it'll begin to win the lost across the globe by the millions. Billions, he says, will be come in to this. He'll have to rise up in the last effort to harvest the earth. But I'll overtake him in the end, says the Spirit of grace. What a promise. We know it. I hope you read every once in a while the book of Revelation. You're in these days. Lean into these days. Come into these days, says the Spirit of grace. And the next one, love and answers in my presence. I'm going to read this. And then I'm going to pray over the congregation, and we're going to close. And anybody that wants to come forward, if you don't speak in tongues, I'll be up here for just a few minutes afterwards. If you speak in tongues and you don't speak where there's a fluency, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, person, whoever you are, that you've got two words or three words. That's wonderful. Nothing to be condemned. You really should have thousands of words the further you go. You should be like, you forget. You don't even, I can't even remember the same words I ever speak from day to day. I don't have a group that I think that I hear that all the time. I don't hear the same words. I don't think I ever hear the same words hardly. And I'm not putting me up. I'm just trying to say there's this place of a gusher. And maybe you're not going to get all that gusher now, but if you want more of the gusher, then come forward right after we pray. Love and answers in my presence. I come to answer the questions of your heart, says the Spirit of grace. For you've asked, maybe not publicly, maybe not out loud, but in your heart. Does anybody know this? Can anybody help me in this? For I'll provide by my Spirit first a peace that passes all understanding, and then a deep well of my love for you to come into. That's good. I mean, sometimes before you get the answers, you need to be quiet inside. Above all things, I invite you into this place, to this pool of my love and of my presence. Knowledge alone will not change or give you the answers. But you'll find your answers to the deepest questions of your heart in this place of my presence, in this pool of my love. For I'm desiring you to come in so that I can lavish, thank you, Jesus, my love on you. Two short prophecies, last paragraph. Know this, that fear cannot stay in my presence. And this is not just in church service, in a church service, but if you'll follow me in this, if you'll yield your heart to me, you'll find places in your life that you did not know could exist. But I will do exceeding abundantly above all that your heart is even asking for now. I'll bring you into it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Robert, go help your brother. I don't know what you guys are going to play for the next couple minutes or a few moments. Bring us into something. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? We're getting close to the close of this service and of this day. No service tonight. I glorify you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Worship you. Have a great day today. Just pass this along to you. We're going to have a banquet this year instead of our Sunday service. It'll be on Friday night. I want to announce this as soon as possible. It'll be Friday, December 19th, and that will be our family fellowship for this year. It'll start at 7. You won't have to bring anything. You won't have to do anything except bring your body. Hallelujah. Can we use your baby as baby Jesus this year? All right. Hallelujah. Because it'll be here just in time, right? Hallelujah. I'm going to close and bless you. If you need something, and if you need physical healing, come up afterwards. If you need, you say, I'm baptized in the Spirit, but I want to flow. I just want thousands of words where I just don't ever remember what I spoke. Then this line will be for you. We're going to sing this one time, and I'm going to pray, and then you can come forward. If nobody comes forward, then I'll be dismissed. Hallelujah.
To you is where I long to be. Let me hide myself inside your heart to find my destiny. Every step I take is one less step I'll need to be in your presence and close to thee.
Hallelujah. Would you lift those hands?
Just
sing it
to
loud.
Be close to you.
Sing it up.
Is where I long to be. Let me hide myself inside your heart to find my destiny. Every step I take is one less step I'll need to be in your presence and close to thee. Oh, to be in your presence and close to thee.
Father, we thank you for the incredible healings that took place and cancer that was destroyed. Lord, a man that's coming out of a wheelchair soon, and all of his body parts, and the healing virtue that came over here, and a warmth that came on this lady and that lady, my wife, and everyone that was prayed for, and the cloth that carries an Acts chapter 19 virtue through it. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. Works, miracles, ministry, power of the Holy Spirit, and presence, presence, presence. We glorify you. Bless your people. Bless them that have watched. Lord, make every service different, filled with your glory. We love you, Jesus. We receive it in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, I'm here for just a bit. Amen.